Monday, June 20th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. I'm Tom Lamprecht. With me again in the studio is author, pastor, conference speaker, and adjunct professor Harry Reeder. Harry, I would like to take you to an op-ed written by William Wolfe, which appeared about a week ago in the Christian Post, entitled Three Ways the Protestant Reformation Reshaped Christianity. He writes in his op-ed, now over 500 years after the start of the Reformation, the big picture results are obvious. Part of better appreciating our heritage is understanding how it continues to play out in our lives today. He goes on to take a look at and explore how the Reformation specifically reshaped our understanding of the church, the role of the pastor, and the administration of the sacraments.
Just in case we have new listeners, why don't you take just a moment to remind us of why we have chosen this story in light of last Friday's Today in Perspective podcast.
Last Friday, we discussed several different stories, one out of the Daily Wire, which centered on a California Democrat who, among other things, came out with proposed legislation that would require a curriculum entitled Drag Queen 101, which you can imagine would affect students from kindergarten all the way through the 12th grade being forced to participate in drag queen shows. We also talked about the fact that there was a church in New York that actually took a Pentecost Sunday worship service, entitled the service Worship is a Drag, and invited two drag queens in to participate and lead in the worship service.
And we looked at how this devolution in the culture into sexualizing of our children with the LGBTQAI revolution. What is happening is not simply setting up this country for divine judgment. It actually is manifesting the divine judgment of God, that the wrath of God is being revealed, as it says in Romans 1, by God giving us over to the desires of our heart in sexual promiscuity, sexual perversion, and social embrace of this sexual anarchy. Is there an answer? Is there a hope? Well, the hope is in the previous two verses of Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:18 and following shows how the wrath of God is revealed. Romans 1:16 and 17 speaks of the power of the grace of God that is revealed in the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. So God's righteousness is revealed through the gospel of grace, whereby men and women can be forgiven of their sins, set free from slavery to the sinful lust of the sin nature, and put onto a pathway of growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, which in turn sets loose Christians in society who become salt of the earth and a light to the world. The darkness in our society under the judgment of God is increasing, but here's what we must remember. Darkness can never overcome light. Light always overcomes darkness. So what do we need? We need the light of the gospel, the light of God's word, the light of the Spirit of God at work through the people of God. And that means we need a reformation. Tom, the society was devolving into abject paganism in the 16th century, and the church was under the chains of corruption, doctrinal abdication, and apostasy, no gospel preaching. And then came the question to a monk by the name of Martin Luther that had already arisen in the scripture. In the scripture, there's this moment where at Pentecost, the apostle Peter preached the gospel, and the people said, what must we do to be saved? There's a moment in Philippi when Paul preached the gospel, and the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is to believe in Christ Jesus, repent of your sins, and put your trust in him. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that glorious message ignited a flame called the Reformation, because it didn't stop with Luther. It went to Calvin. It went to Knox. It went to Cranmer. It went to Ridley. It went to Melanchthon. It went to Bucer, and on and on. But where did it start? The great awakening would come from the revival of the church, and the revival of the church came from the reformation within the leadership of the church. And I believe that's where we are. That's what I'm asking the Lord for, that He would bring a revival to the church through a reformation in the leadership of the church. We need God-centered, Bible-saturated leaders who are absolutely consumed with serving Jesus Christ, who preach the Word of God from the pulpit, expository preaching of the Word of God, who lead the people in God-centered worship, who are committed to the mission that Christ has given to the church to make disciples, and then sending them into the world equipped and filled with the Spirit as salt of the earth and light of the world. Tom, in the original Reformation, this article identified three marks. Actually, I think it was five marks. Five marks of what happened in the church. Number one was a reclaiming of the authority of the Word of God. Instead of clerical magisterium, instead of ecclesiastical church magisterium, the Reformation was rooted in scriptural magisterium. In other words, the Scripture alone is our only rule of faith and practice, and you have to be built upon the foundation of the Word of God. Then came an elevation of preaching. Out of that came an embrace of intercessory prayer. Out of that came an affirmation of the sacraments. And out of that came a church reclaiming its mission to make disciples of all the nations. Let me say it again. The key moment was at the Diet of Worms when Martin Luther said, "Here I stand in the Scripture, unless I'm convinced by Scripture, here I stand, I can do no other." That then led to a reformation of preaching in the churches. The pulpit, which was on the side of the cathedral, was moved to the center, it was elevated, and the sacraments, which had been elevated, were now brought to the floor, accessible to the people. So you had a reformation of the authority of the Word that then led to an elevation of the preaching of the Word, and then that led to a right view of prayer, where every believer having access to speak to God through Christ Jesus, their high priest. And then comes the proper administration of the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and then came God-centered worship, and then that resulted in a church that was unleashed on society that could not be stopped, because light always overcomes darkness. But first, the light has to shine, and the light can't shine until the lampstand is lit and is shining. And when the church reclaims its position as Christ's lampstand, then the darkness will dissipate. Instead of looking for the approval of the culture, we need to live for the approval of God as His instrument to reach this world with an uncompromised, clear, thoughtful, compassionate, but courageous commitment to the authority of God's Word, the preaching of that Word, the praying of that Word, the display of that Word in the sacraments, and the use of that Word in worship, and the glory of God, because the Word of God tells us how to glorify the God of the Word. It is, in a sense, that simple. But we in the church, the leadership in the church today, look to the culture for its approval instead of the throne of God, as we handle the Word of God to the glory of God by the grace of God to save sinners through the Son of God, who redeems those who come to Him by faith and repentance. And a society and the public square can't be the same after churches are unleashed as they were in the Reformation, and then a couple of hundred years later in the Great Awakening.
Just like liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry's nine-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy of this important series, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.